Welcome to the Safe Place Therapy podcast channel. My name is Stuart Sheverden, and I am one of the owners and directors of Safe Place Therapy, and I'm a mental health social worker. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land in which we meet today. I'd also like to pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. We record this episode on, and all our episodes, in the Kulin Nation, but also on other beautiful lands across Victoria. Well, welcome everyone. We're doing a podcast here today based on emotions, why they exist, what they're all about. And here today we have a counsellor, Daniel Di Pietro, who is here to explain how he works with emotions, why emotions exist, and the importance of working with that in a individual counselling space. So welcome, Daniel. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Stu. Thanks for having me on. Very exciting topic.
Yeah. So why do emotions exist, and why do you focus on emotions?
Yeah, well, emotions, they dictate needs, right? In terms of, you know, emotions give us a signal in terms of to perform an action tendency. So if we're feeling fear, you know, it allows us to sense this need for safety. If we're feeling sadness, it's the sense of loss that we may be feeling. If we're feeling anger, it's the sense of violation, right? And so it's whether we act on those emotions dictate how we get those needs met. So if it's a boundary breach, you know, by having assertive anger, we get to reinstate the boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. If we're going through loss, you know, do we feel that sadness so that then we could actually go through that and actually process that emotion rather than just kind of compartmentalizing it to the side. So it actually just gives us information towards getting a need met. And very, very functional. They serve an adaptive purpose.
Mm. Yeah. I think a lot of people out there in the world would hear about counselors using CBT or cognitive behavior therapy and rationalizing emotions and kind of distancing themselves from emotions and thinking rather than feeling. What do you say to that? I wonder why your focus is different to that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's different modalities that see emotions as some sort of weather events that you just kind of sit through and that hopefully, you know, they will pass over time or, you know, develop ways in that you could handle certain emotions. And then again, you know, they clear and then you're able to function again. Where in fact, you know, I like thinking in terms of the, you know, I feel, therefore I am, rather than Descartes, you know, I think, therefore I am. You know, I like giving the example of perhaps music, right? You know, we go to concerts or we listen or pay for music because they give us an emotional quality to them, right? There's no kind of this cognition around the music. It's a sense of that it invigorates emotional quality, and therefore we act on that emotion by purchasing merchandise or buying tickets to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. So again, it serves as very important information in terms of how we navigate forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So CBT, yeah, is very much about trying to challenge thoughts and kind of lessening the emotional experience or distress. So you're not saying take away emotions. You're not saying, you know, that thoughts are not important. It's more that there's a function to emotions. We need to tap into the function of them.
Yeah, we need to tap into the function. And sometimes that if we sit in that kind of, as I explained, that kind of the random weather events, sometimes that we don't get the exact message that they're trying to give us, and they could come out in maladaptive ways. Mm-hmm. And that could be something like rejective anger, where we're screaming or we're shouting because it's been just sitting there kind of bubbling away. Mm. So again, it's learning how to just attune to those emotions in a way that we have that awareness around them as we're feeling that, and how do we act upon that and meet that need there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I guess too, if we think about thoughts can be messy and feel crazy and feel big.
Thoughts could also feel circular.
Yeah.
And cyclical. We could keep going and going and going around how, you know, I like talking about in my therapy space with clients, you know, there's a solution, then there's support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, support is bodily felt. It's emotion, mm-hmm. you know, where a solution is how can we fix rather than, you know, that emotions aren't something that need to be fixed. They're just something that need to be felt and just to be with. And that can be quite hard for some people, you know. And in my work, I give a lot of emotional awareness exercises, and I give a lot of ways in that we could regulate our emotions so that we can step near them and actually sit with.
Yeah. So I guess there's a key point there that, you know, we're not wanting people to feel terrified in a session, that that needs to be regulated. It needs to be grounded.
There's a lot of safety that needs to be built up, and safety and security in terms of getting in touch with their own body, their emotions. Again, you know, emotions are bodily felt. So getting in touch with that in a way that's safe. You know, never would I bring anyone to their body unless we've set up that kind of safety for them first.
Okay. So emotions are good. So then why do they feel so big? Why do they feel so horrible?
Yeah. Well, that's a very good question. You know, for some people, again, as I mentioned before with those weather events, you know, sometimes they have some sort of, again, we're sitting with it, we're not really paying attention to it, and it builds and builds and builds and perhaps turns into a bigger rain cloud than what it has to be, right? For other people, it has historical context for the emotions and perhaps something that they haven't dealt with before, you know, that they've probably seen scaffolded or through caregivers in terms of, you know, perhaps anger wasn't something that was really done around the family, or it was done, but in a way that was rejective anger. So it was quite violent or verbally abusive or whatever that may be. So, you know, it's ways in that we regulate the emotion. And with that, I like talking about in my therapy space, you know, I like talking about emotions as pots on a stove. And there's overregulation, which we could do. And that means, you know, we've got the hob on high and the water's boiling, but the lid's on. Right. What's happening is that the steam and the bubbles are going everywhere in the pot, but we're not able to see what's happening. Right. And when it comes to underregulation, that means the lid's off, the water's boiling, but steam's just blasting everywhere. Right. It's blasting in our face as soon as we try and look over into the pot there. So I talk about emotion focused therapy being a part of the hob. We look at the hob and say, how do we turn that down so that we can still see the water bubbling? Because in emotion focused therapists, we want to see the emotion, be aware of the emotion, what those bubbles are, but do it in a way where, again, the lid's off and we're seeing it and steam's not blasting us in the face.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to explain emotion-focused therapy, how that might be different for a client?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, emotion-focused therapy really takes the tenet of that emotions are the driver for therapeutic change, and that is changing maladaptive emotion. So that means emotion that serves doesn't serve us the function. To adaptive emotion. So replacing emotion with another emotion. And it's an integrative and experiential approach to therapy. It uses a lot of parts work. So the parts work from the Gestalt therapy, uses narrative therapy. I use a lot of grounding, focusing. So what's happening in our body. It's such a beautiful and integrative therapeutic modality. But ways in that, again, the tenet is there that emotions are the driver and that we need to be aware and be able to see our emotions.
Yeah, often clients are coming to session who are scared of anger or come to counseling for anger management. I'm wondering what that's like hearing someone talk about an emotion being a problem for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's all context. So why has that been so difficult for the person, right? Really giving that room for that anger. What is that anger saying? What has it been feeling? So really kind of getting in touch and providing that space for them and, you know, allowing them to access that, but being able to go back to a safe place. As well, when it feels perhaps that it can be tipping over, or again, when I talked about that underregulation, the steam may be blowing up in our faces.
Yeah.
So it's learning to have that relationship with their emotions and their body.
Yeah. I do have a grip around this idea of managing away anger or managing away certain emotions. And so it is about your relationship with that emotion, but what we get out of that, how we see it. We process that.
Yeah, how we process that in a way, again, as I mentioned, that safety, you know, we want us to turn towards the anger, but perhaps in a way that we're able to kind of sit with it a little bit and then know that we could go back to a place of regulation and then come back to it. But in a way that we could take having those little steps that will allow us to take the longer strides.
And if we think about outside the counseling room, there's a lot of stigma attached to, men being sad or women being too depressed, or there's this real kind of yuckiness when someone is highly emotional or too sensitive, right?
There's a lot of gender scripting when it comes to emotions as well. Yeah, I really like what you named there in terms of, typically it'd be female identifying folk saying that they're too emotional, or male identifying folk saying that, emotions are bad, or it's not really according to their scripting there. So navigating that emotions are okay in whatever form they may come out in, but it's learning why is that happening for me? Let's turn into that. Why am I feeling this way?
And there's a reason for it to be so intense, maybe. There's a reason why your body is kind of doing this freak out, or this, the world is ending type experience.
Exactly. The reasoning behind it, the why.
So what are some other issues that people come to you about related to emotions?
Yeah, so as a sexologist, I work a lot with sexual difficulties, and that could be sense of shame around, whether that be vulva owners or penis owners, shame around sexual difficulties. And so I'd be working through that shame. And shame's quite a difficult emotion to sit with, and some people typically try and avoid that, and so they express the shame in different ways, and that perhaps can come out as anger, or come out as frustration. So it's allowing us just to kind of work through those conflicting parts of self. And typically, I do a lot of parts work in my emotion focus work where I'll put a part in that's perhaps a little bit more combative, and we'll see what the other part has to say there, the one that's experiencing these difficulties.
So what do you mean by parts? For the common folk who haven't experienced parts work, what is that like?
So, for instance, we could be feeling a tug of war. I like calling it a little bit of a tug of war internally, right? For some people, they may have this questioning of, I feel like I want to step, for instance, a relationship. I feel like I want to stay in a relationship. And there's a part that's perhaps saying, well, you have to leave, right? This isn't safe for you, or, you could do better than this. Or perhaps it may be coaching statements or criticizing statements or statements out of anxiety. But there may be this other part of you here that is saying, well, actually, I'm in a loving relationship and I want to stay. And this is a common theme that I hear in terms of parts work, is that there'd be very combative and conflicting parts of self.
So there's like a challenge that you become aware of. So maybe a part of yourself saying, you're too much of a sook, or you're too sensitive, talk to the emotional side, the sensitive side, and seeing what happens.
And for them to become aware of each other, because we try in emotion focused therapy to create a holistic sense of self. And so it's getting them in contact so that they could understand why they're actually in this conflict to begin with, because perhaps there's this, they haven't had that emotional awareness to understand what they're actually in conflict about.
So I guess the substance of that then is the real barriers that clients come in with that get in the way of that regulated emotional experience, the understanding why that's happening, and going from there, developing a better relationship with themselves.
And so that they can make the changes and they could carry forward in their lives with the tools that they've developed in session, and be aware of perhaps what they're needing.
So then, how do emotions be damaging or not helpful? So if they're meant to be good, how can they be damaging?
So we may react in different ways, just depending again if it's either scaffolding, so of caregivers, we go to a blueprint perhaps of what we've been given, if it is historical, or otherwise it could come out as, again, if I use example of shame, and we go to that anger place. Well, that's a different meaning. Anger indicates violation, right? And shame's a different reaction there. It's a different emotional need. It wants to be seen. As much as it tries to hide away, it wants to be seen. It wants to be held in its experience. So again, when if we're displaying anger, what we're actually doing is pushing someone further away, we're not actually inviting them in.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be damaging, because then that shame just grows in that isolation, and that could be damaging for their experiences.
Mm. Yeah, okay. So it sounds like there then can be this automatic response that people go to, rather than the shame, rather than the more appropriate emotion or inline thing happening.
And I like how you just named, sorry, Stu, I like how you just named that, because again, it's the appropriate emotion rather than, you know, perhaps it doesn't serve a function, but it's protecting us somehow. So for instance, you know, if it is that anger and shame, you know, the anger is not allowing us to contact the shame, because perhaps at this moment of time, it's too much. So it is serving a function, but it's not helping us functionally in our relationships. It's protective of us.
Yeah. Okay. So I think you've tapped onto this quite a bit already, but I'm wondering, how you work with emotions. What are some of the tricks of the trade that come up for you in counseling?
Yeah. So, you know, first initial sessions, I'd be working on emotional awareness and safety. So that would be creating a safe place within themselves, something that they could come back to if it's internal regulation, or I do something that's sensory so that it's external regulation, something that they can notice how their body feels, come back to their bodily experiences. You know, I'd be doing things if they don't have a name for whatever they're feeling, but may feel something. You know, I invite clients and do a little bit of a focusing exercise where we sit with perhaps how we're feeling in the body, you know, creating a visualization of that. What is that visualization needing moving forward? You know, trying to get some language around their emotions through the focusing work. Then there can be things where, you know, we investigate in a narrative way if they felt something from an experience but wasn't sure why they felt that way. We explore that in a narrative way. You know, was there a historical aspect to it? You know, tell me like I'm there, like we're watching a movie and we're there, and I'm there right now with you and your experience. Or, you know, it can, again, be that parts work where there's these two conflicting parts of self.
And there's an interesting point there that a client doesn't need to fully understand the emotional experience. They don't fully have to capture the right word or what's going on. It's just a challenge or a feeling that's going on that's hard to sit with.
And just allowing them to make the internal changes themselves, because again, you know, emotions are a subjective experience in terms of how they're felt by a person, and I'm not the expert of that experience, the client is. So what I do is I'm the journey person on that client's experience. I'm almost like their Sherpa on the emotional mountain there, and I'm just guiding them through along the way.
So are we saying here that it's important to process all emotions and big hurts in life?
I feel that it is. I feel that it is to sit with all emotion, you know, again, in a way that's safe, though, in a way that you're able to contact that without perhaps displaying some sort of other reaction to it that's protective. So I feel like it is beneficial to feel all emotion. Emotion is adaptive, after all. It signifies an action tendency for us to move forward, to do an action.
Okay. So I guess the essence there is if we feel that something's going on.
If you feel like something's going on, perhaps just have a gentle reminder of, you know, what is it that's needing right now from you? Because it's telling you something. It's coming up for a reason.
And then, so is there a limit related to trauma work? So, you know, if we think about emotions on this big scale where, you know, significant trauma, significant emotions are happening in times of our lives, is there any parameters around that? Is there any kind of rules around work?
Yeah, I feel like it's very important when it comes to trauma work, just to go safely and to the client's speed. Right, they're the expert of their experience, but building up a lot of that emotional safety, so those tools that I talked about in terms of that safe place, that could either be real or imagined, you know, learning how to be in contact with their body. And that may take a little bit of time, but it'll be a slow progress as to going into it. In no way, shape, or form would I ever want to be pushing an emotional process on someone before creating that safety and security for that person. So yeah, I definitely agree. When it comes to trauma work, perhaps there is another lens to it, and that they need to access further resources for that, particularly around safety and getting into their body.
Yeah, I often talk with clients about the relevance of trauma work. So if there's a challenging emotion going on in a relationship, or there's this automatic shutdown that happens when you're engaging at work or something that can't be connected to, maybe there could be some trauma work. Maybe there could be a connection there that's kind of built on and further understood.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so okay.
Deeper.
So individual person comes to see you and there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of emotions going on, Daniel. What are your first steps with that person?
Yeah, I want to know perhaps what's happening in their life in terms of context. I want to know perhaps what's worked for them so far and what hasn't worked for them so far. I also talk about going into the body or learning some external regulation. So I get some examples on that, or perhaps we do an experiment together in session to see what it's like to either go internally or whether or not we can't do that, perhaps some external regulation. But it'd be typically giving tools in that we can actually regulate so that we could, as we progress in our work, we could then sit with the emotion more readily. But it'd be very curiously exploring as to where has that emotion come up for you? At what moments of time do you feel stressed? Does it get elevated in certain scenarios or events that happen for you? So I'd really be curious as to sitting with the emotion and where does that ping up more often than not? Or, how is it managed if it is managed at all?
And because society kind of pushes this idea of being busy or get on with it, that kind of language, like what do you think is needed related to the vocabulary or the words related to emotions in the first session?
Well, again, emotions aren't that weather event. We don't just kind of get on with it. We actually have to turn towards it, and we actually have to notice for why it's coming up for us. If we're feeling stressed, why is that? Is it because of work? Do I feel it more in my relationship, my friendships, family? What is happening for me in my experience? And the kind of get on with it is very much of that. Perhaps a little bit of that cognitive base is that, we kind of just got to package that all up nice and just move on with it rather than opening the box. Okay, let's see what we got in here and why.
So how would you, so I guess then the beautiful magic work is sitting and building a better relationship with emotions, and then things become more easy, things become lighter. Is that what you notice?
Yeah, that's what I typically find within my work and what clients tend to say to me, particularly as we move through the work there, is that they're able to, I guess, not be as reactive, or if they're reactive, they're able to state it in a way that's, I guess, more calmly, but also assertive of their needs. And perhaps the emotional difficulties that they experienced in the past aren't as pronounced as they are in the present, and they have the tools.
That's really great. So then it seems like lots of people can come to counseling related to emotions or have issues with emotions. What's your kind of number one tip for someone that's struggling right now based on emotions?
Come on into Safe Place Therapy and see me. I'll be able to come and just allow you to sit. We can work through with some mindfulness or ways to get back into your body. Just ways that you could just be you and actually experience without any of the outside worries. And for me to be your Sherpa in that and help guide you to that place.
Great. Yep. You're a great Sherpa, Daniel, and thank you for
Yes.
your time. It's been very interesting. And
Thanks, dear.
yeah, there's so many emotions and difficulties out there in the world, and we do encourage people to find out more about their experience. I think getting counseling help related to their individual time or pain points is really important. So thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Jill.
If you are listening or watching this and would like to watch some more episodes related to communication or emotions, or if you'd like to reach out to our team and book in a time, please visit our website and we have our link in the description section. But please take care and bye for now.